And I'll ask you now to stand for the reading. We'll turn our attention to the gospel lesson for this morning. It comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Hear now the word of God. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Let me say about tomorrow, we have some important meetings and things, activities here at the church tomorrow night. We are going to assess how things play out today. But obviously, if there's no electricity or if we are not able to get to the church, maybe some trees are down somewhere, we certainly will reschedule anything that has to be canceled over the next day and a half. We're hoping that after midday on Tuesday, things will be sort of back to normal. So please be watching at your phones and things like that. As you are preparing for the activities of the church, and we will try to let you know as quickly as we know something. This morning, I'm starting a sermon series. This is kind of a new thing for me, so you're going to have to bear with me as we go through this. And the title of this particular series of sermons is called Tied Up in Knots. And the word knots is N-O-T-S. When we think about the scripture, we think about how practical it is. It does provide us with very good advice on how to live our daily lives. So this morning we're starting this sermon series where we're going to look at some different scriptures that teach us how to deal with life's situations that come up. They may be a little bit different from the teachings of our human tendencies. And so we want to look at this very practical way of living. Today's scripture is telling us about relationships. Relationships are at the very core of who we are as human beings. God created us together so that we could have relationship. God created us so that we could be in relationship with Him. And so we are talking today about how to deal with relationships and how to deal with the tendency we have to disagree with one another. When there are two or more people, yes, God is going to be in the midst, but there are also going to be differences of opinions and times when people get their feelings hurt, when they don't feel like they're being heard, or they're just being misinterpreted altogether. So rather than just sweeping it under the rug and allowing hurt feelings to fester, Jesus gives us a step-by-step guide on how to deal with conflict and what happens when we disagree. Jesus says to his disciples through the teachings that he has here, that we don't need to hold grudges against one another. That the scripture for today tells us that we're not to tolerate any situation in which there is a breach of personal relationship between us and another member of our Christian community. And we can take that even to mean everybody, anybody that we know. In the 18th chapter of Matthew, Jesus admits that disciples are going to have conflicts. Jesus realizes that this is going to happen. He's not saying to us, never disagree. Never disagree. No, he's saying that he knows that we're going to have disagreements when we get two or three people together. We are going to see things differently. We're going to want to respond differently. So we have to learn to do it in a healthy, loving, caring way. It isn't a matter that Christians are perfect and they won't have conflicts. We're going to have quarrels and differences of opinion. We have to learn how to resolve those. And that's what Jesus is telling us today. Comus, a Duke of Florence, had a saying that indicated the limitations of his religion. He said, you shall read that we are commanded to forgive our enemies, but you never read that we are commanded to forgive our friends. That can happen in the Christian proclamation of the gospel. We spend a lot of time in our pulpits talking about how we're supposed to love our enemies and pray for our enemies, when in actuality, right there in the pew sitting next to you, there may be someone who is holding a grudge or hanging on to petty hurts or who doesn't know how to love a person who disagrees with them. And it brings about division, right? So when they do this, the church and Christianity and the whole practice of religion is not joyful. And they miss what it means to be in relationship and be a part of God's family. This particular portion of Matthew 18 gives us a whole scheme of action for mending broken relationships within our family of God called the Christian fellowship. Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him. Sit down and talk to him. If somebody has wronged us, then we need to put that complaint into words. One of the biggest mistakes we make is that we do not voice our hurt. To just brood about it becomes fatal. It can poison our entire life until we can't think of anything else but how hurt we are. Our own personal injury becomes the whole center of our being. A lot of times just voicing such a hurt can help. And Jesus knew that. He said, go and tell them. Many times just putting our disgruntlement into words will help us put it into a proper perspective. It may even seem trivial, may even be a lot less important once we put it out there. There are so many times when we just must not suffer our hurt in a sort of brooding silence. Because you see, it gets bigger and bigger as we brood over it. That's the worst thing we can do. The first rule that Jesus gives us in helping us deal with conflict is that we need to speak it and get it out. The second rule he gives us is that we are to see the person in person. We are to go to that person. Jesus says, go and tell him his fault between you and he alone. And then he adds a beautiful thought to it. He says, if he listens to you, you've gained a brother. If we have a difference with someone, if we don't agree, Jesus says to settle it face to face. Now, it seems to me that Jesus is warning against writing letters, or in our day and time, emails, complaining to someone else, and all such things. So to write a letter means that we can bring more misunderstanding. While Christians can deal better with each other face to face. Humans who are in Christ can deal with each other differently. Being aware of our shortcomings and still having God's forgiveness, we can deal with each other in compassion. Allowing forgiveness. Knowing that we also make mistakes, that we can allow others the same privilege. Jesus says to go personally. A letter can be misread and misunderstood, and it can convey a tone which it never meant to convey. Jesus adds this, if he listens to you, then you have a brother. What a beautiful picture. Go in Christian love to another person and say, you're hurting me. What you said was hurtful. What you did has caused me pain. And then talk about it. Our purpose in doing that is not to humiliate or condemn, but to gain a brother or sister. So the first step that Jesus told him to do was to voice what your concerns are. And then the second one was to go out and talk to that person face to face so that you can gain a brother. The third step is to take some wise Christians with you. If you go to a Christian brother or sister and you tell them that you have had a disagreement about something and they don't hear it or don't respond to it, then he says, well, take a third person or two more people so that you can talk together. And it's not so much that you're supposed to do that so that you've got more people getting with someone, it's that you have two or three more voices to help bring out compassion and love and reconciliation. If we talk things over with a wise person, that person can often help us to see ourselves as others see us. So we need to do that. So if one person doesn't work, then, hey, give it another try and take a couple of friends with you and sit down with someone and try to work it out. And then if that doesn't work, the fourth step comes up. Then we take our troubles to the Christian fellowship. It is so true that within the Christian fellowship, if it is a Christian conflict, then it can be resolved. And if at all possible, not by going to some sense of law, in our case, the book of discipline, or our Christless arguments, legalism is not the answer. What we want is to fix the relationship. What Jesus means is, in an atmosphere of Christian prayer, Christian love, Christian fellowship, go to this person and work to see this relationship righted. It is clear that Jesus is making a big assumption here that we do love each other in the church. And he says, if he refuses not to listen, then you tell it to the church. And if that doesn't work, then number five is, according to Jesus, treat them like a Gentile and a tax collector. And that seems pretty rough coming from Jesus. If you don't succeed, Jesus advises to treat the person as a Gentile and a tax collector. And the first impression here is to give up and just treat the person as hopeless and abandon him. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus says we are to forgive 70 times 7. William Barclay reminds us in his commentary that when Jesus spoke of Gentiles and tax collectors, he always did so with a sense of love and sympathy and gentleness, so that he could, and this sense of appreciation for their good qualities. It could be that Jesus was saying something like this: when you've done all of this, when you have gone to the person by yourself, you've taken two or three, you've brought them before the whole group, and it still doesn't work, you need to still keep trying. Because you see, Jesus never gave up on tax collectors and Gentiles. He didn't think they were hopeless. So we're to keep trying. We are to keep telling people we love them and we want to have that good relationship with them. Reinhold Niebuhr, in The Irony of American History, writes, "Nothing that is worth doing can be achieved in our lifetime. Therefore, we must be saved by hope. Nothing which is true or beautiful or good makes complete sense in any immediate context of history. Therefore, we must be saved by faith. Nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone. Therefore, we are saved by love. No virtuous act is quite as virtuous from the standpoint of our friend or foe as it is from our standpoint. Therefore, we must be saved by the final form of love, which is forgiveness." You see, we're always going to disagree. We're always going to disagree. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in the congregation. It's going to happen in the world. It's going to happen in the church united. We're always going to disagree about things. And yeah, it's hard work to disagree and to resolve that disagreement. But our Savior tells us, Jesus tells us to do it, that we should do it, that we must do it, because it is a Christian fellowship in which we live, and we must behave as Christians, as Christ followers to the world. So as we think about our disagreements, we think, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus act? And Jesus has given us this very simple, easy framework to put our complaint into words, to see this person that has wronged, that we feel has wronged us. That doesn't work, bring more people, have wise counsel to help us. If that doesn't work, then make the Christian fellowship aware of it. And if that doesn't work, then never give up. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we do come before you in times when we don't agree about certain beliefs, ideas, ways of doing things. And Lord, we say things sometimes in a tone that is not loving and caring, and we are sorry. We are heartily sorry when we make those mistakes. Lord, help us go in love to our Christian brothers and sisters and discuss the issues that are hurtful before them. And help us, O God, to remember that it is the restored relationship that is the most important thing. It's not us being right or you being wrong. It is about us being Christian brothers and sisters together. Help us live that way in the name of Christ. Amen. Our